That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 155 of That Great Business Show, where we bring you more great tips, insights, and unique business opportunities on every episode, all perfectly packaged in our commute-friendly podcast. And it's all thanks to Dundeal.ie. I am Conal O'Moran, Foltister, on E155, as we call it. We have a bit of an automation theme going on with one man who wants to train us to help the robots take over, and another business owner has packaged his years of successful selling into a sales training course that is already getting rave reviews, and it's only just launched. We're now official podcast partners with Aer Lingus Long Haul. They want you to head for Hartford. That's in Connecticut, USA, the best place to set up your USA HQ. Contact us at thatgreatbusinessshow.com to find out more. All our tips and insights are brought to you thanks to Dundeal Motors, the place to look for your new or previously loved car, van, or truck. Dundeal.ie.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at AerLingus.com.
My first guest is the CEO of the School of Automation, a company that wants to share the benefits of careers in automation. We've previously looked at ChatGPT, VR, AI, and the like, but Mark Cooper wants to train the people who will eventually use all of these technologies. His school has launched a course in robotics process automation, or RPA as they seem to want to call it, in conjunction with the Clare and Limerick Education and Training Board. And don't worry if you're not based in the Midwest, because these paid traineeship courses can be done remotely. And by the way, a trained developer can earn 60,000 euro a year, a salary level that looks set for takeoff as the robots take over more and more and more. And I know you already know, but I'll remind you that robotic process automation is a technology that allows people to configure robots or computer software to execute business processes. And thank God I have Mark Cooper, boss of the School of Automation, in studio with me, because I'm already lost. Mark Cooper, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal. Appreciate you asking me to come and speak today.
I can tell by the accent that it's not from West Cork.
Yes, it's not. It's not a West Cork accent. All the way from Glasgow today. So.
And thank you very much for flying in from Glasgow, especially to join us on That Great Business Show. Your RPA, as you seem to want to call it, or your RPA course, what's it all about? Who's it for? How can somebody make a living, make a career, or make money out of it?
Yeah, great question to start. The best way to answer that is we're seeing more and more businesses using digital technology to transform businesses. It's happening. It's already there. And one of the things that we want to do at the school is, how do people feel part of that? How do people get the right training skills and experience to then go and have a career in automation? So that's exactly what we set out to do. In particular, we want to help people that maybe never thought this would be possible. We want to help people who are unemployed, looking for work, maybe barriers to employment. That's the sort of people we're after. We want to help those, lift those people up and have rewarding careers in tech, particularly in automation.
And I immediately see the big flag going up saying, hang on a second, a career in tech, and you've kind of looked at socially being left behind, realistic or not? A lot of people are saying not.
That is realistic. We're proving it. We're doing it. We've been doing it for the last 3 years. I have loads of examples and stories to tell about people.
Go ahead and tell them.
Yeah, of course. So age-wise, we've had people as young as 17 on the course, people as old as in their 40s, 50s on the course. Age is not a barrier. We are here to help you. The program and modelling's in place to help you introduce you to the technology, work through the theory, practical elements, and obviously then move into work experience with our client partners and then into careers and jobs.
What about people who, let's put it nicely, school didn't really suit them? Fellows who just dropped out of school really early.
Yeah, not a problem. What we would say is our biggest thing, what are we looking for? We always get asked the question, what are you looking for? Could I be part of this program? And I always say the biggest thing is your attitude to learn. If you have a willingness to do this and you can really apply yourself and kick horse, it's achievable. Regardless of your background, regardless of what you've previously done, whether it's school, college, previous jobs, we're here to help regardless of that.
You're sounding like you're out to do good rather than do a business. What is the School of Automation all about?
Yeah, exactly that. We pride ourselves on the ethos of the school, who we are and how we go about doing what we do. We absolutely want to help people from all social all different backgrounds, and real big believer in social mobility. How do we help people achieve, you know, their goals, career ambitions, and get them into jobs in this space? Because we do know these jobs are of high value, they're well paid, and we believe there is people, you know, from all backgrounds able to achieve that.
And why is it the School of Automation, coming from Glasgow as you are, and then that you've managed to do the business with both Clare and Limerick Education and Training Boards? I'm curious as to how you ended up with that bit of work.
Yeah, exactly. How did we end up in Ireland, I suppose? We started in Scotland with this model. We partnered with one of the vendors in the robotic process automation, their software particularly. We got introduced with the director here in Ireland, who was working with Irish government. And one of the challenges that he was facing was his clients and businesses wanted to use the technology, wanted to scale with what they were doing, but they just didn't have enough people with the right skills and talent to do this. So when he heard about the school, I think it was one of my presentations that I was doing, I was invited onto their sort of sales call at the time, and I was introduced to the director. And he was just able to join the dots. He was able to see what was his clients and businesses' problems they were facing in terms of skills and resources, and he's seen what we were doing. So very quickly, he introduced us to some people within Irish government. We spoke to them about the model. Irish government are using automation right across various departments. So it absolutely made sense about how do we bring our model to Ireland. And that's when we partnered with Limerick and Clare Education Training Board to put the model in place. And now we're 2 years down the line, and growing.
Okay. It is based in Limerick Clare, as you mentioned, but it is remote. So therefore, it doesn't matter where I am anywhere. Does it matter anywhere in the world or just in Ireland?
No, this is one of the real benefits. And this really came about around COVID time, because the school was launched in 2020, right in the middle of COVID.
Good timing.
Exactly, right. We did not see COVID coming at the time.
And said 1 million other people in business.
Exactly, yeah. So we quickly re-engineered our program, our materials, and how we delivered. And that was then delivered remotely online. And that has continued. The benefits of that is, even though we are funded by Limerick and Clare Education Training Board, the program, it's a national program and it is delivered online. So we have lots of students working from home, taking part in the course. They literally need a laptop and an internet connection. Everything else we provide.
And the first installment of the course, if I remember correctly, is about 12 odd weeks, is it?
Yeah, there's two parts of the programme. So the first part is a 12-week foundation course. This is to identify people who would like to train, learn the technology, and just see what it's about.
And what's the take-up? If you get 100 people starting out, and what's the drop-off rate after that?
Yeah, so we try and run groups of 15, right? So we cap our groups at 15. Our last recruitment campaign attracted over 200 applicants.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was pretty. It took us a while to, you know, promote the course, what it is, what we're doing. We worked with welfare offices nationally and attracted 200 applications. From a course of 15, we, on the first part of the course, the number that transitions, we believe maybe about 10 or 12 of those transitions. So between 60 and 70% transition to the traineeship.
That I was going to ask, because what happens next?
Yeah, what happens after the 12-week foundation course is there is a year-long traineeship. Why is the traineeship in place? Because we know that even though you've done a 12-week course, for you to gain, you know, suitable employment in this sector, you need experience, right? And the traineeship is designed to work with client partners to get you that experience and real project hours under your belt.
And is this in human form? In other words, you can't do this virtually, can you? Or can you?
Absolutely, yes.
You can do it virtually.
Yes, it's all done. If you think about developers' work right now, is most of them work remotely. Mm. Don't get me wrong, there is times where you might have to go and visit the client office, collaborate with the team, speak to them, you know, but each client have got different expectations. Most of our clients are remote and maybe getting into the office a number of times a month maybe, but largely it's remote working.
And according to what I was given, a junior developer can earn somewhere between 30 and 35,000 starting out. How quickly can you go from applying for your 12-week course to being employed at 30,000, 35,000?
Yep, I would say all in all, you're talking about 15 months.
That's all right, isn't it?
Right, 15 months. Going from knowing very little, almost nothing about RPA, the technology, 15 months. We have examples of people leaving the traineeship and moving into full-time employment on those salaries, yeah.
And then the future is very bright after that.
Absolutely, the future is as bright as you want to make it. That's what I would always say. RPA is a technology, it's one tool. Right, and a whole bot and a whole range of tech solutions that a business would use. What we always emphasize to people in the course is you're just starting out, right, with an automation. There is so many other things to learn, other tools. You mentioned at the start of the show there about ChatGPT, AI, machine learning. Actually, it's never ending. Unfortunately, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. But if you're a student and you want a career, this is a career. It's not a job. It's your learning is continuous no matter what age you are.
And another thing which must be emphasized is from day one, you start earning, you're given money. You got 220 quid a week at the very beginning, and then it goes to 340, 460, and. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of pain taken out of this.
Yeah, what we want to do is, you know, you get a training allowance for being part of the traineeship paid by the Education Training Board. What we also want to do is, when you're working for a client, we also want to reward you for the work you're doing, because you're doing valuable work for these clients. You're building their automations, and these automations are then being tested and put live in production. So the client is gaining value from the work that you're doing. So we ask that client to pay a fee to us for that work, and we then pay you a top-up allowance, all right? So if you're a student, you get the training allowance from ETB, and you also get a top-up payment from us, and that is incremental.
Typically, yeah. 50 euro, 100 euro, 200 euro?
Yeah, we start off, the early days, as soon as you start with a client, it's 120 euros a week. It then goes to 180 euros and then 240 euros.
On top of your 220?
On top of your 220, yeah.
This is beginning to look attractive, all right?
Yeah, we want to reward people for the work that they're doing.
And how big can your side of the business go in Ireland? If you're talking about 15 per course, how many courses can you run across the country if you so wish? And are you trying to at the moment?
That would depend. The amount of courses we run will depend on demand from clients. So the more clients that are using this technology, they're looking for skills and resources, tapping into our programs and, you know, working with our students, that will drive more demand then. And then we'll run more courses on that basis.
Well, you know, because you're here and back and here and back from Scotland, how tight the labour market is here. Is that a problem for you? Because, or is it a good thing? I don't know.
The only gauge I've got to go is when we last recruited for a group to start. As I said, we had over 200 applications and we had 15 spaces. So on the basis of that, it's not caused us a problem yet. I hope what we offer is attractive and people can see where they can go in terms of a career and their aspirations.
And do you need to have other bases? Do you need one in Cork, Dublin or wherever? Because if Cork, Limerick are already doing it, or sorry, Clare, Limerick, it doesn't really matter, does it?
It doesn't really matter. It's a national programme. We have students from all over the country here. They all work remotely. They're all on daily calls. It is a full-time programme, so you are expected to, you know, log on your Teams call, Microsoft Teams we use. There's morning calls, There's work you do in between. There's afternoon calls with your technical trainer, just guiding you through, you know, all the different modules and units that you need to achieve.
Sometime you lay on the bed and you dreamt as to how big this could be for your business. How big is that? Can you go worldwide?
It is a global technology, so it has been used globally. Could the school? Absolutely. I don't see why not, but let's a step at a time, right?
Well, you know that in Ireland particularly, because we've been beaten into this by Enterprise Ireland, we only run businesses if they get off the island. There's only a tiny amount of people living here, just like Scotland. Actually, I think it's the same population. Yeah. And the only way is off or out, because there aren't enough of us. So we dream big.
Yeah, look, we dream big also. And I think what we've been doing over the last 3 years is proving the model, prove that it works. And then, you know, one of our challenges will be how do we scale that? And we go to new geographies. We're already in Scotland, Ireland. We've just started some work in England. We're having conversations in Wales right now. But could that go further afield? Absolutely.
Of course it can. That's the whole point of digital, isn't it? And that means that the worldwide, that they could actually come out of Clare and Limerick if they wanted to.
Absolutely.
I love that.
We have developers that are working with clients all over the world. You know, some of our developers were working with clients in North America, all over Europe, you know, Portugal, Israel, loads of different places. The logistics is not a problem. It shouldn't be. We're digital.
Which is gorgeous.
Exactly.
When you're stuck in the edge of Europe, not a bad place to be. When it's digital, what would you like from the employer, because we're an SME podcast, what would you like from them? Is there something that they can get out of you? I shouldn't be so crass as to say just get out of you, but are there benefits for them?
Yeah, of course. We want to create an ecosystem of talent and skills within this sector. If you're an employer and you're using automation software and you're wondering...
Which so many are. I mean...
Yeah. Where do you get your skills and your talent and your pipeline? The school, that's exactly what we're trying to create. There's a model in place. It's working for many different partners of ours. We have more students coming. So, you know, that would be our ask to employers.
And do they go to the School of Automation, or do they go to the Limerick Clare ETB, or who do they chat to?
It can be both, right? Whoever they feel, you know, confident to get to first, get in touch.
You're pretty approachable.
Of course. Contact ourselves, go to the website, get in touch. Or if it's Limerick and Clare Education Training Board, get in touch with them. They'll link us in and put us in touch and we can have a conversation.
And can you modify your courses for specific areas, even within that specific area? Can you tweak it to suit particular employer needs?
Yeah, if an employer needed local resources rather than nationally from any specific region, if we had enough dialogue beforehand, when we're taking part in their recruitment, we specifically target that region then for that client who needs local resources.
Because what you may not know is some of our technical universities are almost dedicated to med tech companies and all. And if they need specific skills, they run courses specifically for them. And that's worked out really, really, really well. Yeah. So I'm thinking the same for you. Yeah. Tell me this before you take your flight back to Glasgow. Who would you, Mark Cooper, CEO of the School of Automation, hire in a heartbeat?
Yeah, I thought about this today on the flight over. And, if I had to pin it down to one person, I'm a big fan of a person called Simon Sinek.
Oh, you know Simon Sinek,
So,
and why are you a fan of his?
Yeah, I love his work. I love his ethos about why he does what he does, you know, and he's all about people.
Tell people what you think is lovely about him.
Yeah, everything he does and what I've seen and heard from him is people-centered. Right, you know, and I think he's got his why statement of, you know, why does he get out of bed in the morning? And it's to, you know, help people in businesses. You know, he's got this ideology of people going to work, feeling happy, fulfilled, and going back to their families and home. Like, he's got that. He wants to build a world where people feel like that. Now, whether he'll ever get there, but it won't stop him trying. That's his sort of mantra and the way he speaks. And I just love that. And I take my own responsibilities as a leader in business and the company we have I firmly believe that myself. The people that work at the School of Automation, our team, it's my job to lead them, look after them. And they're the people then will look after the students that are on the course, right? Where you should be able to come to your work, feel good, feel fulfilled, have purpose, and exactly that, go home to your families and, you know.
You sell it well. So for anybody who wants to get involved in the whole world of automation, should either log on to the School of Automation or to the Clare Limerick ETB, the Education Training Board, and find out more. Sounds like a wonderful idea. Please come back to us when you expand out and when Limerick Clare is running the world. Gorgeous place down there. Thank you so much, Mark Cooper, for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Here's the problem. If you're a fast-growing company, you often don't have the time to properly guide and develop your sales team. So what happens is that you look at the numbers, but you can't actually tell if there's a problem in sales with the team or the product, or maybe a combination of both. Deal Coach is an automated coach for the sales team. I'm told it's like having your own sales buddy sitting beside you. And I'm also told that it is a simple dimple to use. For managers, you can spot trends in sales, pointing out bottlenecks all very quickly. And when things are going wrong, you can actually ask Deal Coach for immediate help, and I'll explain how and why. We heard about Deal Coach from two unrelated businesses, both singing the software's praises. So, as That Great Business Show is solutions-driven, we had to track down Deal Coach's founder, David Larkin, to tell us more. David is a former head business development at Sage Ireland and a regional VP with Salesforce and a winner, wait for this one, of the Peak Performers Club for 5 years in a row. David Larkin, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal. Fantastic intro.
What is the Peak Performers Club?
Well, this is when you, or more accurately, your team achieves its number across the whole year.
Is this in Salesforce, in Sage, or anywhere?
Well, different companies have different approaches to it. But yes, within Salesforce, this was a tremendous opportunity to go to Hawaii on several occasions.
Oh, and you won this and you went to Hawaii, did you?
Yes, indeed.
So you are a true peak performer.
Absolutely.
And out of this, I think, you decided that Deal Coach was. How do you describe Deal Coach? Is it it's not an app. Is it a software or what? How do you describe it?
Yes, it's not an app because people normally associate an app with something you put on a mobile phone, whereas this is something that you'd run on a computer. It has its origins in why I left Salesforce, which was to go and help companies to grow their businesses. I worked with a lot of ambitious companies to help them with sustainable and predictable revenue growth. That's basically the whole theme of it. And
you're a salesperson to your core, would I be right?
Absolutely. And it's something that Irish people were not great at.
This is now something I so agree with you about. We are the greatest mouths in the world, but not necessarily brilliant at the actual sell or the
Absolutely.
Sale. Talk to me.
Well, there's a lovely phrase that we like to use, happy years.
Explain.
Irish people tend to have happy years. So we go out and we talk to a prospect, and particularly if you're a startup company, they don't like to tell you that it's not great. So they'll tell you it's wonderful. They'll tell you it's amazing. And they'll come back and they say, wow, we have a great opportunity here. And then nothing happens. And that's the big problem that keeps occurring. And that's when they bring people like me in to help to unjam that backlog.
And does your Deal Coach, can they spot this lie from 100 meters or something?
Absolutely.
Honestly, can it really now?
Yep, it definitely can. And that's the whole essence of it.
So I am my little startup company and I'm getting this fantastic stuff from everybody. How do I find out that David Larkin, that I've just spent 4 hours in the pub with, is telling me big fat lies, telling me how brilliant I am?
Yeah, it's very simple to use. It's the whole idea, because anybody involved in sales will use a thing called a CRM, customer relationship management. And that's where they'll put the bulk of their time and manage their whole process right through that.
And that is what Salesforce is, of course,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I did in Sage as well. But one of the things about that is, think of it like a production system. That's the software that's going to manage your production system. But any good production system is a quality control as well. That's where Deal Coach comes in. It's like the quality control. So it's very, very easy to use, and it's designed to complement what you do with your CRM. So once a week or so, you'd sit down, or if you just had a very important meeting or you're about to have an important meeting, you sit down, and in a few minutes, you input some basic information just by clicking little dots on the screen, and it'll come back to you a text and say, watch out for this, watch out for that. And very importantly, it'll then go on and tell you what to do.
Oh, nice. So go back to my happy ears. Mm. David Larkin has been telling me that my product is fantastic. And does it start waving a red flag saying, David Larkin tells this to all the girls?
It certainly does. It will come up and it'll tell you, watch out for this, watch out for that. Because people tend, particularly startup companies, they're sometimes blinded by big names. And they'll say, wow, we got an opportunity here, we got an opportunity there. These people are talking to us, these people are telling us we're great. But then it's trying to make sure that it's brought forward through the pipeline and into closed business. And that's very often where people get stuck. So often you'll go into a relatively small company that have a wonderful pipeline of opportunities. They'll tell you some great names that they're talking to, but a conversation isn't a sales opportunity. And so Deal Coach will give you that objective view of every single deal and tell you where the dangers are and what to do about it.
Sounds too good to be true. How does it do that?
Well, it does it in two ways. It looks at a series of parameters and you simply click a little dot beside the parameter that in order to tell it if it's good, bad or indifferent in terms of your
So I come back in from my 4 hours in the pub with David Larkin and I start clicking if I can see the dots and it says, oi, hang on, he told you this? No, that's no good. No, that kind of stuff, is it?
Absolutely. Well, I'll give you a great example. It's one that I love to talk about, which is priority. So very often you'll talk to somebody and they'll tell you, oh, yes, I've talked to this prospect and he said we're great and he loved what we're doing and so on. And then I might ask them and say, well, how much of a priority is it to fix that problem? Usually silence then. And then if they do ask them, they might say, well, he said it was in the sort of top three or four priorities for the year. So if you put that into Deal Coach, it'll tell you that's not good enough. You need to have a much higher priority than that. And here's what to do to test the priority and maybe see if you can move it up the priority list. Because priorities change all the time in companies.
Okay.
Or
do you do a screech and do a U-turn and get the hell out of there?
Absolutely. And that comes back to the happy ears and the Irish approach to sales. We're very bad at taking things out of the pipeline. So we end up with a bloated pipeline of conversations as opposed to a bloated pipeline of sales opportunities. And this is very difficult for companies to manage, particularly if they're in an environment where they're taking external investment. Investors love to see big names. What they hate to see is the name there month in, month out, over and over and over again. So you've got to be able to take those out of the pipeline and then focus your attention on those deals that are winnable.
I said at the very beginning that I had heard, not from one, but from two unrelated companies about how good people are saying this software is. And I'm not here just to, you know, to blow it up, as they say. Tell me about some of the successes that you've had.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great from the point of view of...
I should have started by saying this is brand new.
Well, it's been around for about a year. We're on version 2 now.
Yeah.
And we're about to get into version 3 in a short while, which is a really important change. And it's been something that I've been itching to do for a couple of years because I'm not scalable. You know, I can help companies, you know, the several well-known companies. Take Taxamo as a great example. Taxamo, just in a nick of time before COVID hit, got me down to Kerry to help them because they needed to grow their business. And I spent most of COVID working with Taxamo and Kerry, but I was doing it from my house.
Yeah, you should have been down in Kerry. Much nicer.
Absolutely. It was gorgeous, gorgeous location. Absolutely fantastic. They sold the company for 165 million. Tremendous success that came from that. That's what kind of spurred me to say, I've got to bring this capability and knowledge to a lot more companies than I can physically work with. So we've worked with a number of small companies and bigger companies over the last 2 years with this.
And do you measure, can you measure what you're doing? Can you actually turn around to potential clients and say, I'll bring you from naught to 100 in 2 months or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the tagline on Deal Coach is close more deals faster. And those are the two important metrics for any business. Your win rate, as we call it. How many deals are you actually closing? So typically, I'd find companies would be closing 15, 20%. And after 3 months with Deal Coach, they'd be doubling that, more like 30% close rate.
That's pretty win chunky. Rate,
to be accurate.
Yeah.
And then velocity is the second big parameter. Closing deals faster. And not pushing the deal unnaturally through the pipeline, but closing it effectively and efficiently. And that, again, we would typically be looking at a 20 or 30% improvement in deal cycle time. And that means in any unit of time, be it 6 months or a year, the company can deal with more deals.
And are we talking about tech companies only, or what other kind of companies?
No, because of my background, I tend to gravitate towards tech companies. But any company that has got a relatively long sales cycle, i.e., weeks or months, would find Deal Coach extremely beneficial.
Not the sweet shop.
No, not the sweet shop, and not the one and done type where it's done in a day from start to finish. But the kind of sales situations where you're probably talking about an investment by the customer of a few thousand, so it might stretch out over a period of time. That's typically where Deal Coach does very well.
You've mentioned the happy ears. What else do the Irish sales lacking? What else do we lack in sales or sales ability that causes so much problems?
Well, you mentioned it yourself. We tend to talk more than we listen sometimes. And there's a great saying in sales, which is you got two ears and one mouth. And that's very important. Great salespeople listen.
And how does your Deal Coach deal with that?
Well, it deals with it in the sense of the certain parameters that we're measuring that will deep dive into the reasons that somebody might want to buy the product. So we won't just take the superficial reason that they give you. We'll dig further into it and then dig further again into it to really satisfy ourselves that you've got a good understanding why they're actually going to buy your product. Because you know why they're going to buy your product, then you're in a great position then to work with them and help them to actually bring that deal forward. That's where you build trust. And particularly if you're a small company dealing maybe with a large company, trust is very, very important.
So you're a med tech company, you've got a solution for, I don't know, MRIs or something like that. And mm-hmm. how does your application interrogate the MRI salesperson or sales system?
Mm. Well, we don't go directly into the system. What we do is the salesperson would call up, for example, they're trying to sell to a hospital or something like that, and then enter a small amount of information, which is just a whole series of what we call tiles on the screen. And they're given choices of good, bad, or indifferent type answers. So they might say, it's a top priority to get this, or it's a medium priority, or we don't know the priority. And then based on that, with various weightings in behind, Deal Coach will then summarize that and say, okay, based on what you've told me, this is where I think you're at. These are the things to watch out for. These are things that you need to pay attention to. And you're fairly okay on these, but don't take your eye off the ball on those.
And then do you correct the people when you're told more emphasis on this? Do you coach them in that area?
Yes, absolutely. We give them insights into what that means, why it's like that, but also very importantly then, what to do about it. So built within the product is a whole series of what we call sales plays, particular things that you do in given circumstances. Now, this is where version 3 is becoming very exciting, because guess what? We're bringing AI into Deal Coach. Now, we've been testing it for the last number of months, and it's incredible in terms of what it can do. It's really designed and perfect solution for us to be able to give the information in a very digestible form to the salesperson. But also, very importantly, they can then interrogate further. So we might give them a 4-line, 5-line, say, okay, based on what you've told me, this is what we suggest you do. But then they can interrogate and say, well, what sort of email should I send? Or
okay, what I like that.
Should I forecast this? And we can actually interrogate it further. But very importantly, all of this is enclosed working on the data that's in Deal Coach. We're not going off into the wild to find answers. We're actually siloed and using the information that's been carefully built up over the last 2 years inside Deal Coach.
Now, maybe it was my questioning, because you've already said that we have happy ears and we talk too much. Is Deal Coach specific to Ireland, or is this the world?
No, absolutely. This is something that's available on the internet. It's what we call a SaaS product, therefore anywhere, anybody.
Is it relevant though, and is it attuned to the ways of selling in other countries?
Totally.
Do Germans sell the same way that we do?
Yeah, they are becoming more and more selling the way we do, particularly in high tech. But the principles of what's in Deal Coach are applicable irrespective of the country, irrespective of the culture. These are well-established processes of modern selling. So it doesn't matter whether you're selling to large companies or retail operations or manufacturing companies, banks, building societies. In fact, the very first paid customer sold to building societies all over the US.
Well, sell it to me now is how quickly, if I go to you and I buy, first of all, how much will it cost me? Mm-hmm. Secondly, how quickly will I see an effect, a positive effect, I hope? And does it go on forever? Do I keep chucking the cash at you, or what happens?
Yeah, it's a subscription model.
So I do keep chucking the cash.
You do. But, you know, the whole idea is to make it accessible. And that's what I want, this to be accessible. You know, to bring somebody like me into a small company is just not affordable, because by the time you've got me in for 2 or 3 months, you've spent a lot of cash. So the whole idea of Deal Coach is to make it accessible to lots and lots of companies. So the cost is €65 per month.
That's
all right. Just 780.
You're very cheap.
I know, but the whole idea is to make it absolutely accessible to as many people as possible.
Is that per seat?
Yes.
Okay. So yes. Sales team certainly...
Yeah, but in smaller companies, you know, you might only need a relatively small number of people to actually use it. And then, you know, rather than bringing somebody like me in, you'd get 3 or 4 hours of somebody's time in a year for the cost of that.
And is it forever learning and forever throwing out new ideas? In other words, does it, if I take it for 4 months, am I done with it now? Do I know everything about selling?
No. Now, in the product, there is also a whole suite of training courses, and those you'll probably digest in the first week or two, or come back to them gradually over a period of a year.
And are they extra?
Nope, that's all included.
God, this is getting very attractive.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. All included in that. And those you may not go back to very, very often. But the whole idea is to give you a kickstart in terms of how modern selling occurs. And then the product itself, yes, you pay. But the value of that is that it'll start to learn what are your personal weaknesses. So it'll be able to say, you know, you're not particularly good in this area. You tend to lose deals here. You tend to lose deals because of this. So here's an area for personal development. And so we track that over time as well. And that's the real long-term value.
What is... And this may be coming towards the final questions. What's the big pitfall, the big stupid mistake, the most obvious stupid mistake that most salespeople make?
In my experience, they tend to simplify sales too much. And what a lot of salespeople think is, I'll go in and talk to them and go, well, they contacted us, they heard we were great, they asked to see the product, so we arranged a demo, they asked for a price, we sent them the price. And then they disappeared on us. And that's the most common mistake that I see salespeople
do. And what's the mistake? I mean, obviously you didn't get the sale, but what's the mistake?
The mistake is not managing the process from end to end, of allowing the prospect to dictate and say, hey, I want to see your product. I want to see the price. Great, I have everything I need. Thank you very much. I'll be in touch. And very often they get busy on something else and they disappear.
What are you meant to do?
You haven't built trust. You haven't built credibility with them. Maybe they have looked at your product and misunderstood it. Maybe they looked at it because it's a sophisticated product and said, it's complicated. And so by doing a proper process, by working it through, by involving the right people at the right time through the sales process, you build their knowledge, you build their trust. And very often I've seen situations where it's part of the way through the process where the penny really drops them and they go, wow, this product is amazing.
So what should you do? Do you go back again? Like you've run the course and you haven't heard back from them and they're now not returning your calls.
Mm.
What do you do?
Well, first of all, you make sure that that doesn't happen.
Okay.
So you've got to be proactive. You've got to, so for example, you make sure that there's a next step after every meeting. It's a very simple technique.
As in we discuss them, David and I are chatting, what's our next steps after this? And we agree that, is that it?
Exactly.
Okay.
So for example, if you're doing a product demonstration, you'll talk to the person you're dealing with and you'll say, well, what happens when the demo is over? What should we do next? So that you've mapped out the next step or two. Same with pricing. You never send pricing just on email. You discuss it and you say, let's walk through the pricing.
But somebody says it's 1200 or nothing. Is that, I mean, they do.
They do. But then you see, that's where if you've done your process properly, you'll be able to look them in the eye and say, well, I've done some calculations here as to why it's worth 1200 to you. You have to understand how to justify your pricing. It's a common mistake that many people, they never take the time to analyze their price and say, for example, if it's 1200, they never reverse the situation and say, okay, well, if a salesman comes in here and tells me this product is 1200, how is he going to justify it? So you got to learn how to justify your price and value, which is very, very important.
People feel that's going on to the back foot, that you have to be kind of more pushy. More forthright.
Oh, that's old school selling.
Oh, good.
That's old school.
You're teaching me. Good.
No, you got to work with the prospect, and two of you got to work together to bring that deal across the line. That's the modern approach.
Jeez, that wouldn't have worked in stockbroking back in the day. one price and one price only, and it's only available now.
Yeah.
Tell me this: you're obviously got huge ambitions for this, have you?
Huge, huge. I think it has enormous potential
worldwide.
Oh, absolutely. Say my very first customer was actually in the US, and there's absolutely no doubt that this has worldwide potential and opportunity.
Next unicorn?
Well, we'll see. I've been close to a few unicorns in the last few years to know what they look like, and this has the potential and possibility.
And do they go moo or mah?
Well, they've done well. They've done well.
Final question that we ask all our guests on That Great Business Show is, who would David Larkin hire in a heartbeat?
It would have to be Mark Benioff, who's the CEO and founder, my former boss in Salesforce.com. An absolutely amazing character. He built a company that's worth over $200 billion dollars today, started with four guys in an apartment in San Francisco, and he had a crazy vision that you didn't have to put software on computers back in 1999. You could do this in this thing we now call the cloud.
Was he the inventor of it? He was one of the promoters, wasn't he?
Very first inventors of that. Survived the dot-com boom and bust, and the company has grown and thrived immensely. And it's headquartered in San Francisco. European headquarters is here in Dublin, an absolutely phenomenal, amazing company, amazing business.
Did you ever meet Mark Benioff?
Used to meet him about twice a year.
Oh, did you? What's he like?
Bit shy on a one-to-one basis.
Is he good at selling?
No, oddly enough, he's more of a marketing guy and a product guy than a sales guy.
Could he buy this?
Who knows? That would be nice if he would, but who knows?
And when you won your Peak Performers Club prizes 5 years in a row, we better say that part, did he congratulate you on each and every year?
Well, he had two very good lieutenants who used to come to Hawaii with us and always made sure of thanking as well. And very, very nice again, indication of the ethos of the company. Your partner could come with you. And they always made a point at the closing dinner to thank the partners for all of the efforts of their other half.
And being so understanding.
And so understanding, exactly.
And Deal Coach is available now?
Absolutely. Dealcoach.io, very important. .io. Dealcoach.io. And in fact, you can get a free trial of it right now, which is valid for the next 6 weeks.
Very good. And so, David Larkin is the man that you're looking for. David Larkin, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That Great Business Show.
That is it from That Great Business Show, episode 155. Great business insights and inspiration, all thanks to our sponsor, dundeal.ie. Go online and kick some tires at dundeal.ie and see what your next car could look like. And sign up for our email updates and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast. The address is thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And that is where to go if you would like to advertise with us. We record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where the robots haven't taken over yet. So we have not one, not two, but three sound engineers on the job today: Mark McCarthy, Lee Brennan, and studio manager Peter Rice. And you will agree that between them, they make us the best sounding business podcast in the world. And Peter Rice is also the man to talk to if you'd like to record your own podcast here in Dundrum, Dublin. So from me, Conal O'Moran, Buchas to you all, agus slán tamall.